Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for nearly 50 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. Whether you are a layperson seeking optimal health or an experienced clinician that manages the most challenging conditions, fish oils are a foundational option. When establishing a core nutritional protocol, fish oils are among a small list of nutrients that nearly all consider essential. After all, they are known as essential fatty acids. With so few consuming adequate omega-3s in the diet, the need for replacement could not be greater. Yet, as many discerning professionals will acknowledge, not all fish oils are created equal. This statement applies not solely to quality, but as well to clinical application. In today's podcast, we are going to begin with a look at the current landscape of fish oils, discuss sourcing, and move into a conversation that is certain to benefit clinicians in their recommendations. But before we begin, allow me to introduce my colleague joining me for this conversation, Daniel Benning. Daniel is an experienced practitioner and functional medicine consultant that has been with Biotics Research for almost 30 years, covering Arizona and New Mexico. As I reflect back on a multi-decade career, fish oils have certainly been one of the most important categories of nutrients that I have routinely recommended. In an effort to control inflammation, establish cell membrane health, enhance neurological health, and a long list of other mechanisms, nearly all clinical scenarios benefit from omega-3s. Yet, omega-3s are not a panacea. Accurately stated, they are a linchpin that allows for optimal cellular health. Without quality, however, even the most well-meaning intervention lacks efficacy. This initially brings us to a discussion about quality. I would like to start this off by just simply asking the question, what is a professional fish oil? Does it have relevance in regards to clinical dosing, looking at maybe a few milligrams up to multiple gram dosing? Is it a conversation around quality that further gets into nuances of oxidation, toxicity such as contaminants, environmental pollutants, and heavy metals? Does the form of the oil matter? How about the validation that is supporting all of these statements? These are the questions that have to be asked when someone is looking at a professional oil, a professional grade fish oil. And the real story with fish oil actually happens before it ever shows up in your office. And to begin this, I would like to take you through what is considered the fish oil transit time, if you will, and begin by sharing what is the norm. This is probably not what you initially think about, and I would suspect that for many, this is also probably not, when you're looking at a bottle of fish oils, the initial thing that is going through your mind. But it's something that you absolutely have to look at because it ultimately influences the quality of the product that you're delivering to the patient and the outcome that you're anticipating. The normal fish oil transit time is based off of travel across the globe. Fish oils are processed literally continents away from where they're harvested at. They may be harvested in multiple areas of the world, and the oils are ultimately shipped over to another area where they're combined together. And all of this transit is going to equate to exposure to air, exposure to light. And these are both going to be processes that, or exposure points that are going to increase degradation on the oil. To translate that a different way, we would say that as rancidity and oxidation. And obviously, oxidation is a key factor when we're talking about fish oil quality. But to understand this process, let me actually even get a bit more detailed with you so you can appreciate what we're looking at here and what is different with the Biotics Research options. The process for normal fish oil and involving the transit time is that there's a purchasing of the purchased crude oil. So when we say crude oil here, I don't want you to think anything petroleum related, right? But this is the terminology that is accurately used in this industry. The crude oil, meaning the crude fish oil, is when it is harvested and when it's processed and it is shipped to these large distribution centers. These distribution centers are predominantly in Asia and the Netherlands. From those distribution centers, the oil is loaded into tankers. It is shipped across the North Atlantic, and it's usually transferred over to Norway. From Norway, it's processed into a concentrate, and then from there, it's shipped into the U.S. markets. And what I've just shared with you only took me maybe 30 seconds to detail, but that process is a process that lasts well over a year. And again, this is the norm in the industry. But this is not the biotics fish oil that we're talking about. The biotics research fish oils are a much different process. They're a completely different sourcing. And so it's literally the shortest time from catch to bottle. So you're getting the freshest raw material starting point. And then instead of oils being put on tankers, these oils are literally put on trucks and driven immediately to the processing facility. So this creates a huge logistical advantage when you're looking at your fisheries being near processing facilities. And these oils are coming direct from the fishers, from the fishing companies, and there's not a broker involved with this. And so one thing that you should always ask yourself when you're thinking about whether it's fish oils or truly anything in the entire nutritional space is that you have to remember that in the background of all of this, there's a business. And so the oils that we're talking about here, they're not being managed by brokers. These oils are being directly exchanged between the fishers and fishermen, however you prefer to say that, and the companies, the processing companies. So it's going direct over. The crude oil, as I said, is delivered direct to the processing facility by truck. It's not put on another ship. And then this may be one of the most important points that you want to latch on to, because remember, I stated oxidation earlier. The oil processing for the biotics research fish oils is completed in a vacuum. And what that means is that it is never exposed to air. And you can just inherently connect the dots right there and realize that that's going to reduce a massive point of oxidation, really just eliminating the oxidative aspect here. And then you get into the shipping, because even after you've processed these oils, you still got to move these oils to the U.S. Well, these oils are shipped in nitrogen flushed drums. So again, we're using nitrogen to be able to keep the oxidation mitigated. And then once they're to the U.S., they're also put in nitrogen flushed stainless steel tanks for bottling. And then each bottle is nitrogen flushed. So you can see nitrogen plays an extremely important role in this conversation, but all of this is done consistently to be able to mitigate that oxidative impact. And, you know, as I'm sharing this with you, maybe one of the things that you're asking yourself is that, yeah, that sounds good, but is any of this validated? And the short answer is yes. And the longer answer is multiple times. And so the oils are validated by the raw material supplier. But as with all raw ingredients, biotics doesn't take the word on the supplier. Biotics is doing their own validation in-house on this. And so many of you may recognize, but if for some of you that don't, that biotics research has an in-house ISO certified laboratory. So this is the highest tier of laboratories, and these assessments, this validation, this is taking place on every single batch of oils, and it's what allows us to be able to confirm that not only are there consistent amounts of EPA and DHA in the product, but that we're also seeing reduced oxidation, that any type of contaminants or toxicants, that those are also mitigated as well. So that's the transit time, right? And it's really a much different story than what you hear from other suppliers of fish oils. So that's just truly one thing that is unique in this conversation. But it's one thing. It's not the entire story. The next thing we have to ask here, and remember, I just want to backtrack for one quick second. What I'm doing with you is framing up the things that you should be asking of a professional fish oil. That's what we're doing. We're just going through the checklist right now. And the next thing you need to look at is the form. There's three possible forms of fish oils. You can have triglycerides, you can have monoglycerides, or you can have ethyl esters. I always personally like to explain this part of the conversation when I'm talking to either patients or other professionals, that when you've been to a doctor in the past and you've looked at a lipid panel, and that lipid panel, maybe you call that a cholesterol panel, it's looking at your total cholesterol, your LDL, your HDL, and your triglycerides. Those panels don't look at your monoglycerides. Those panels don't look at your ethyl esters. Why do they look at triglycerides? They do that because that is the inherent form of fatty acids that you find in the human body. It is also the inherent form of fatty acids that you find in the fish. And the reason that this differentiation is important is because in a comparison, triglycerides are 70% more absorbable than ethyl esters. And the reason that is the case is because you have this glycerol backbone and you have the three fatty acids attached to it, hence the name triglyceride. But the benefit to that triglyceride form is that now lipase can more effectively hydrolyze that triglyceride. And literally the comparison numbers is that you get 12 to 15 times more efficiency out of lipase working with a triglyceride as compared to an ethyl ester. Translation on that is that that's going to give you greater absorption, greater bioavailability. And all your truly doing here is matching up the form of the oil that is inherent to human physiology and that the body works very easily with. As a side note here, I would also say that, and we don't hear this really within the biotics research camp, and the triglyceride form of the oil is the reason, but I imagine many of you, especially if you've been in this space for any length of time, you have seen scenarios where patients might complain about regurgitation of the oil and fish oil. That doesn't happen with triglycerides, and it has everything to do with the fact that the lipase is working more efficiently. Again, that's not the story with an ethyl ester, and so that's the reason that they tend to lean more towards that regurgitation. The next point that we've got to get into is looking at the quality. And the biotics research oil, fish oils, they are going to pass what is known as GOED standards. And GOED is, that acronym stands for the Global Organization for EPA and DHA. This is an organization that has put standards in place, and these are standards that really any supplier should be meeting. But this is a statement, just an assurance for you as the consumer, especially passing this along to patients and making recommendations that you are indeed hitting the standards that are of a higher level. The other thing is that I mentioned that we are validating the lowest levels of contaminants, environmental pollutants, heavy metals, all these other oxidation parameters. And this is actually has a lot to do with just the very starting point of where these oils are coming from. These oils are fished from anchovy. So one, we're pretty low on the food chain. But then the other part is that these are coming from the South Pacific. And the South Pacific is still considered one of the areas with the cleanest waters in the world. So inherently, we start out with just a low environmental exposure point at the outset. Again, lowest levels of contaminants, environmental pollutants, heavy metals, oxidation parameters. And I would actually suggest to you, as a follow-up to this conversation today, to download our technical documentation from the website on the fish oils so you can actually see comparative analysis on these different statements that I'm making. And then what this translates to, and this is really where the rubber meets the road, if you will, this gives the best sensory profile. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that when that patient opens that bottle, or even you open that bottle and you're looking to take it, you're not getting blown away by a fishy smell. You're not, again, going through the regurgitation process. There's not a potential metallic taste. You don't have these pungent profiles. And the fish oils always receive the highest grades across the board. It's interesting. I've even talked to our supplier about this, and he often says to me, he's like, you know, I've got one employee who is interacting with these oils all the time. And it, not his words, these are mine, but, you know, apparently he creates this picture where this employee just has a sensory profile like a bloodhound. Like, she smells everything, anything that has an off taste on it, it's just going to be a huge red flag, and it's going to become a concern for him on the production side. And he's like, she just doesn't give me feedback on this. We know how sensitive she is, and she just doesn't give me the feedback on these oils being problematic. And he said if anybody was going to detect that, she would detect that, which means that these oils would never make it out of our production facility to even get close to being in a bottle that would be passed along by biotics. So that's just not going to happen, right? Now, the final thing that we've got to talk about here is traceability, just sourcing. And traceability in the food nutrition industry is lacking many times. And the story around fish oils, especially under the biotics research umbrella, really takes a huge swing at that by being certified with Arrivo. Arrivo uses NMR lab testing, so nuclear magnetic resonance imaging, to be able to verify the ingredient authenticity and the origin. So what that translates to you is that there you can have an assurance that these oils are truly coming from anchovy, they're coming from small fish, and they're coming from the coast of South America. So what you see on that label is indeed what you are getting in that bottle. And to be able to cross-reference it, the oils are going to have, the bottles will have a four-digit code on the bottle that you can take back to Arrivo and see the assessment report where Arrivo did the study, the NMR lab testing on this, to illustrate what I'm sharing with you here. Everything that I'm talking about falls under what biotics calls the OmniPure TG, or triglyceride, guarantee. And we consider that our foundational baseline starting point. This is truly within the industry setting the standard for what is considered an optimal fish oil. And again, think through this when you're evaluating oils out there and ask yourself, are they hitting these four metrics, these four core areas? Is that professional oil that I'm considering doing that? And when you look at the biotics research line, you'll see that it does. Now, allow me, if you will, to transition our conversation, and I want to move over to specific products now. And I'm going to bring Daniel into the conversation here momentarily, but I want to start us off with what would easily be considered our flagship in this category, and it's going to be Biomega 1000. And you'll see why it's the flagship here. And for those of you that are in the trenches every day, you're dealing with the tough cases, and you're looking for an oil that you can get a high therapeutic dose with, this is the product. And that's really the concept with Biomega 1000. It's a EPA DHA product. It's high dose. It's therapeutic. You're delivering 1,000 milligrams per soft gel, which could also translate not just to getting to a therapeutic dose easier, but that may also translate into fewer soft gels for the patient at the end of the day as well, which, you know, pill fatigue is a real thing. So we do want to acknowledge that. But this is keeping you in that therapeutic zone. And honestly, most clinical scenarios, especially where you're trying to mitigate something of a chronic nature, you're trying to impact those types of conditions, most of those scenarios are going to benefit from 3+ grams per day. And you may even find that it's necessary to get up quite a bit higher than that sometimes, but this is the option that is going to allow you to be able to accomplish that in a soft gel form. Some of the more specific applications that you would be thinking about here, if you're looking at a cardiovascular support scenario, they can also improve endothelial function, which we know that the endothelium is such a key component to this whole cardiovascular conversation. In addition, they've been able to impact blood pressure and even heart rhythm. And you think about how many individuals are out there struggling with atrial fibrillation, just as an example of that, or some other arrhythmic issue, probably to no surprise, you know, when you think about almost all of these conditions that we all run into clinically and we discuss all the time, there's a thread of inflammation running through all of these. Omega-3s are going to be able to downregulate nuclear factor kappa beta. And as a byproduct of that, the subsequent cytokine activity that comes along with that. And the whole idea behind this is that you're promoting the balance in the inflammatory cascade, and that is ultimately going to allow more headway into some of your other interventions. So again, it's official or a foundational concept here. From that, you can lean into brain and cognitive function. We'll talk more about a specific application here, but specifically, DHEA is a key structural component of the neuronal membranes. And the way that that would play out in reality with the patient is improvements in focus, memory, mood stability. You know, if you think about how prevalent depression, anxiety, mood instability, these types of conditions are, these are rampant in our society, and it just truly illustrates the deficits in the omega-3s that are out there. Joint health. Again, you're tapping into these anti-inflammatory cascades, if you will, and the early indicator on that may be something as something like morning stiffness. Like you step out of bed in the morning, your foot hits the floor, you're like, I'm a little stiff this morning. Well, that could be an early indicator that maybe it's time to start tackling these inflammatory cascades at a higher level with fish oils. And then even immune modulation, and I don't know why, but this is to me one of the most impressive mechanisms of action behind omega-3s is literally the ability to influence these eicosanoids to promote the subsets of the T helper cells in the immune system, and even just to create this whole universal immune homeostasis. And it's one of those things that when you think about, well, what type of nutrients do you intervene with for the immune system? Fish oils don't generally jump to the top of the list for most providers, but they are so important at regulating some of these, really a lot of these foundational mechanisms that we often talk about as it relates to immune health. And then from a structural standpoint, so I've given you quite a bit of mechanism here, but this is one from a structural standpoint, this is one that you can tie into any scenario throughout the entire body because it is just literally a base building block. And you think about cell membrane fluidity. And this, if you go back into the deep recesses of your early education, you'll remember terminology such as the fluid mosaic model. And this is looking at the plasticity, if you will, of the cell membrane, the fluidity of that cell membrane, and it needs to be optimized. And omega-3s help optimize that fluidity, and that translates into improved receptor sensitivity, which could look something like influencing insulin signaling. We know that insulin receptors are a conversation that many of us have on a routine basis, but maybe that also translates into neurotransmission. How do the neurotransmitters optimize at the receptor sites? What about hormone balance? These are all key areas where we need sufficient quantities of the omega-3s to make sure that at a structural level, at the cellular level, that we are building structures that are functional. Now, before I hand this over to Daniel, I am just going to introduce really quickly Biomega 500. And we were just talking about Biomega 1000, Biomega 500, as the name implies, is a reduced dosage. So this is going to be 500 milligrams of omega-3s. delivered per soft gel. And really the only difference with this product compared to the Biomega 1000 is that you're looking at more of a maintenance application or more of a general wellness approach. And for practitioners that like to do that strictly with an omega-3 intervention, Biomega 500 is going to be the option to be able to accomplish that with. But Daniel, you're going to get a bit more detailed with us here, and you're going to take over with Biomega DHEA. So let's talk DHEA for a moment.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Beyond the introduction, I think the listeners, what you listed in the beginning is like a perfect checklist to investigate with other suppliers. And the idea of this, I feel too, is for the doctor to have the confidence in the recommendation to the patient when the patient comes back and says, well, I buy XYZ brand from the big box store. These are important components to be aware of, because everybody talks about rancidity and all these components of fish oil that aren't good. But I want to reassure, and I know you, Dr. Hill, after being in this industry for so long, the level that biotics research goes to ensure the quality of the product is bar none the best. And I may be a little bit biased, but seeing what goes on in the industry with fish oils, and honestly, personally seeing laboratory results of Totox levels or the oxidative levels of some products, I think people would be shocked. And so, as you broke down the Biomega 1000, the importance of the EPA, the DHA, and all those functions, Biotics Research years ago released a more concentrated DHA called Biomega DHA. And why did we do that? Well, you know, it was fun to kind of review some of this, honestly, and look at some great seminar notes that have been put together on Biomega DHA. You know, all cells contain DHA, but the concentration of DHA is in the eye and in the brain. So I know you mentioned that already with DHA about the neurological activity of it, but that's where you look at application. So like you were talking about with Biomega 1000, more broad spectrum, more foundational. You're looking at this as more of a targeted application. And by the way, you know, DHA is not efficiently, you know, made as we convert down line from ALA. So that's why we produced a 500 milligram capsule soft gel to focus on these cognitive issues. I mean, when you're looking at DHA again, think of cognitive development and function. Fetal brain development is very important, DHA. It's basically 27 days of gestation, up to 18 years, your brain is sucking up DHA. Think visual development and function with DHA. As I mentioned, there's huge demands during pregnancy to take in this DHA and absorb it for the fetal brain development. And to note, as I said about optic health, 50% of the fatty acids in the retina are DHA. So if you have clients or patients that have eye-related issues, eye health, or in familial eye health issues, this is more of a targeted application product. As Dr. Hill mentioned, wonderful, impressive studies on anxiety and DHA. DHA improved anxiety outcome in studies, and low intake or low brain levels were associated with accelerated cognitive decline, dementia, and Alzheimer's relationships. And as we talked about the eye, about 50% of that being the fatty acids of the retina, 40% of the fat in the brain is DHA. So you're seeing the importance of this component. Wonderful to have a foundational program, like you were talking about with the Biomega 1000. In the Framingham study, highest levels of plasma DHA had 47% lower development of dementia. I mean, those are big numbers, actually. The brain, we tend to forget the brain, but we tend to forget the importance of quality fats for brain health. And a little side note, when we look at using fish oils, like you were talking about for lipids, DHA alone lowered in a study triglycerides by 13%, C-reactive protein by 7%, Those are impressive. And used again, too, think of neurological health. We have to think beyond our adult patients. I'm a big proponent of this. We have to think about the kids as well. And what, you know, if you look at a Doritos bag, I don't believe there's any DHA in that bag, you know. And so we have to think about what these kids are taking in. And, you know, Dr. Hill, you and I talked about that when we saw each other last week about child health and what they're eating, looking at brain function. They have showed that taking DHA, it was actually out of Purdue University study, showed that low DHA also correlated with hyperactivity and attention deficit. So again, we tend to not go to that as our first foundational kind of product for that. And, you know, I want to add, as we're talking about foundation, you and I talked about this earlier on before we were on the recording, but I'm looking at this chart in front of me. And the downline nutrients needed to make these conversions in all of these oils, these foundational nutrients. We were talking about, we get out here into the weeds with some of these wonderful products that many of us make to target specific. But if we don't have foundational nutrition, the importance of zinc in these conversions of from ALA downline to EPA, DHA, the importance of B vitamins, and here's the kicker, which we forget about, is some of the things that inhibit these conversions. A big one is alcohol. They showed people who drank a fair amount of alcohol beyond a, what should I say, you know, no, a dose of comfort. I don't even know what the word to say here is with alcohol, but showed that when people drank alcohol, we did not have a good conversion downline because it inhibited delta 60 saturase. So using DHA in those kind of applications is where we're looking at targeted, more specific fatty acids.
Daniel, it's interesting. You were just talking alcohol. The other thing that influences that is going to be insulin resistance. Insulin resistance slows that conversion down. And so some individuals, just to kind of put things in a clinical model for a second, is as some folks like to use ALA very high up in the omega-3 pathway, and suggesting that when you look at that pathway, that it is going to flow down to EPA and DHA. But the caveat to that is, assuming you have optimal, as you alluded to, delta-60 saturase, assuming that that enzymatic activity is optimal, and in many scenarios, it's not. And that's why it becomes so much more important just to jump further down into those pathways, whether it's going directly to EPA, DHA, or as we're going to talk about here, you'll talk about coming up, the SPMs. This is why you need these available at a supplemental level to get these therapeutic outcomes. And I think most individuals listening to our conversation today are probably recognizing that there's not massive differences in these products, but there are these subtle differences, whether it's just a shift in the total dose, or it's a shift in the amount of DHA relative to EPA, or what I'm getting ready to talk about, being able to deliver into deliver with a liquid form versus a soft gel form. There's all these nuances that create a scenario that is most optimal for a particular patient population, or just at the end of the day, to be able to get that product into the patient. And to that end, that's where I want to introduce to you Biomega 3 Liquid. And you have to recognize that liquids are going to be more ideal for anyone who struggles with pill fatigue or swallowing the soft gels. And that may be, for example, a young kid, that may be an older adult, or someone who's already on multiple medications or multiple supplements. And like I said, they're just pill fatigue. They're just burned out and they're looking for something that maybe they can just add to a smoothie, not even think about it. They could even mix it in to their food. There's not a strong taste here. So it's something that they can easily mix in. But the benefit here is that this also not only gives you a liquid administration option, but it also gives you a lot of flexibility in dosing as well. And you know, that could be especially valuable for talking about pediatric populations where smaller incremental doses are needing. If you just need to quite simply simplify, if you will, someone's daily dosing. One dose could deliver the therapeutic amount without having to worry about someone counting out capsules. I mean, you're talking about a teaspoon of Biomega 3 liquid is going to almost approximate 3 grams. And you'll remember I said earlier that most clinical scenarios show that 3 grams plus is where you're getting into the therapeutic zone at for these named conditions. And whether it's smoothies, protein shake, you just want to add it to a protein shake. You could even get creative with this and you could add it to a dressing, a salad dressing, if you will. The point is that it's going to make compliance much easier, especially over a longer term time frame. And I will kind of give you the opposite on this too, because I think it's always important to note where this doesn't seem to fit really well. And where it doesn't fit really well is for individuals that are traveling a lot. But if you're not a person who's traveling and you check one of these other boxes that I've mentioned, or you just want a completely different administration format, Biomega 3 liquid is worth considering here. And it checks all the boxes for all those core criteria that we were talking about earlier for evaluating official. It is literally, and let me actually say this across the board, all of these oils that we're talking about, these are all the same oil sources. So it's one product oil is not coming from one location. Another product oil is not coming from another location. They are coming from the same location. So those same standards and criteria are applicable across the board. Daniel, I want to turn this back over to you because you and I have kept this conversation in the omega-3 arena, but omega-3s can also come as combinations too with other fatty acids. And so pick up the conversation there, if you will.
Yeah. Years ago, Dr. Alex Vazquez had put a blend together. Many of you know that name out there, a brilliant doctor in our world. And he talked about optimal EFAs. And this is a combination, as we're talking about all these different applications, these different blends, I think, like we said, foundational Biomega 1000 and the dosing there, the therapeutic dosing. And this was designed more for a balanced essential fatty acid need, he felt. So it's kind of like, Dr. Hill, we talked about earlier, a little bit of a philosophical application of where you feel best with what we're talking about. Looking at it from a pathway standpoint, you know, this product has, you know, ALA in it, it has EPA in it, it has DHA in it, and GLA, and some oleic acid. So we've got a full blend here. And kind of put into your brain a little bit, because people get a little concerned when you talk about GLA and is it going to go down line to potentially arachidonic acid? And here's a little piece of a caveat that's really kind of unique to the thought line of this product. EPA inhibits the delta 5 desaturase, which then inhibits the downline conversion of GLA to arachidonic acid. So that's a little interesting piece, that why that combination, you don't have to worry about GLA going down an inflammatory pathway. And why is there GLA in there? Well, this is kind of that blend, that foundational blend of, you've got a really good diet of healthy fats. You're getting a plenty of fish sources in, and you're using olive oil in your, in your salad dressings and things. You're doing healthy fats already. This is a great foundational product. You know, GLA, if we think about the applications, you know, was found to help with eczema. It maintains skin moisture barrier, can reduce nerve pain and promotes hormonal balance. It was shown to help PMS symptoms. So he kind of put this product in the area of the when Dr. Vazquez was putting his package together of what every patient should be on or every client should be on. You know, we always talked about a multi. He talked about an oil. He talked about a probiotic. And vitamin D was his thing as well. And that's where this optimal phase came in, was not target specific therapeutic, but just a overall general well-being blend. I call it kind of, for lack of a better term, but I kind of do this a bit with certain products, is what's the bang for the buck? You know, a very cost-effective product, getting a nice blend of essential fatty acids. And, you know, you think of these applications with this ALA, the EPA, the DHA. This was a nice one for PMS, shown to be low in omegas. You know, brains of people with I'm switching here a little bit, but in PMS symptoms, but also in brains with people with MS, were shown to be low in omegas in blood or in fatty tissue. So you're looking at the importance of the myelin sheath here in MS patients, diabetic neuropathy, we've talked about PCOS. So there's a lot of different general applications for a product like this without getting overly target specific.
Daniel, I'm getting ready to pick up with EFA Cert Supreme, and this product is also a combination of EPA, DHA, as well as GLA in here. And since we're both talking about products with GLA, I just want to acknowledge that many times I receive questions where practitioners are concerned about the presence of an omega-6, and I always ask them to step back and ask, are, when you're looking at the diet, are you going to ever completely avoid omega-6s in the diet, even when you're consuming and focusing on saturated fats and when you're consuming predominantly omega-9s? You're not. You're still going to get some omega-6 intake. And it's not that we're trying to completely isolate out omega-6s from the diet. We're trying to be conscientious about what the total makeup of fatty acids in the whether it's the diet or the supplemental regimen, it's the total makeup that is more important. And there is inherent value in, as you alluded to, GLA, DGLA, the dihomogammalinolenic acid. There's inherent value in those. So it's the full picture. And you also talked about how EPA and the omega-3s modulate some of the enzymatic activity as well. These are all key concepts, and it's why we can't, to again be big picture here for a moment, it's why we can't think about nutrition in isolation, because the human physiology just quite simply doesn't work that way. And again, to give you a supplemental intervention that fits that model, let me introduce EFA Cert Supreme to you. And this is a product that is predominantly centered around cardiovascular application. You'll find that from an ingredient standpoint, you've got EPA, DHA, GLA, you've got some mixed tocopherols in here, you've got gamma tocopherol. So allow me to break down how each one of those categories fits in to the cardiovascular scenario more specifically than I have prior. As it relates to the omega-3s, they're going to affect platelet aggregation. They're going to directly affect blood viscosity. So think about all these hemodynamic measures, if you will, that patients are often concerned about. Your plasma levels of fibrinogen, so think in regards again to clotting activity here. And even looking at general capillary flow is going to be influenced by the omega-3s. But it doesn't end with just that, because the healthy lipid profiles that we alluded to, normalization of blood pressure, these are impacted. But maybe what is even more important or more granular, probably shouldn't say more important, but more granular, just to go a bit deeper here, is the stimulation of nitric oxide, one of the absolute most important signaling molecules across the body, not just in terms of its vasodilatory activity, but just as a signaling molecule throughout the body to optimize normal health for, say, for example, normal blood sugar and insulin levels. Nitric oxide is going to have impact there. What about EPA specifically? So EPA is going to modulate some of the pro-inflammatory cytokines, meaning that it's going to reduce their production. Also things that you've probably heard, TNF-alpha, your tumor necrosis factor alpha, or your interleukin-1. These are two inflammatory cytokines. These are downregulated. DHA is going to modify gene expression. Now, let me pause on that one for just a second, because I want you to think about what I just said. The presence of DHA as an omega-3 is literally modulating and modifying how your genes are expressed. And that, in turn, is going to affect translation, transcription, protein production. This is a very significant observation for DHA. And then we get to GLA, right? So now we're back to the omega-6 component on this. And low levels of GLA have directly been associated with cardiac risk. And so that's certainly an interesting observation to point out that it has more to do with the totality of the fatty acid profile and not just simply that it's an omega-6, but what kind of omega-6 and what type of environment is that omega-6 functioning in. That's the importance of all of these working together. But remember, we've got some other important aspects here. We've got the gamma tocopherol. We've got this vitamin E fraction. And that's going to come into play with your natriuretic activity. So thinking about fluid modulation there, it's going to support your optimal and healthy glucose and insulin levels. It'll have some antioxidative effects. So it's just literally going to be a defense against chronic oxidation. And then it's also going to mitigate some of the cellular damage that results from the production of these free radicals. So literally, if you think about where omega-3s are, and more specifically to where we're at right now, where your vitamin E hangs out at, it predominantly is hanging out with the fats to prevent lipid peroxidation. And we're even finding that certain fractions of vitamin E are more beneficial in certain scenarios, and hence gamma tocopherol as it relates to the cardiovascular conversation. Now, as the name suggested earlier, EFA CERT Supreme. If you're not familiar with sirtuins, let me just give you a real quick introduction to sirtuins, because this product is literally, as the name suggests, is all about stimulating the sirtuins. And your sirtuins are literally longevity switches. And if you can flip these longevity switches in your favor, then theoretically, you're going to improve your longevity. And we know how big of a conversation this is now, but this is also what's going to ultimately help determine how you respond to stress and ultimately how your body uses and builds energy, for example, making ATP. So, you know, don't get scared away by looking at the inclusion of these omega-6s. Sometimes they have a real unique place and they can be an ally, especially in the full context of the other omega-3s there. But Daniel, we've saved maybe what some might argue is the best for last here, which is a bit of a slightly different than what we've talked about with the others, but you're going to jump into the SPMs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm super excited about SPMs, the science behind them, and the therapeutic value is huge. You know, we built this story of purity and quality and therapeutic value of all these different essential fatty acids. This one takes a little different pathway. So what Biomega SPM is SPMs are precursors to fixing, resolving inflammatory processes. So it's a super critical extraction from fish oil. And what we have is the precursors to these SPMs that are in the bottle. So upon activation, inflammation, the body converts these SPM precursors that are extracted from the fish oil, and they are activated in the body to SPMs, pro-resolving mediators. And how these are utilized is we are going and converting an M1 macrophage, which is a pro-inflammatory macrophage, to an M2 macrophage, which is a tissue remodeling, tissue resolution, anti-inflammatory pathway component. So you may not be familiar with pro-resolving mediators, but just typing that in the PubMed, the uptick of references there is massive. We're looking at 2,100 different references on pro-resolving mediators in the literature. I mean, let me just share a few of the references with you that we're seeing these help in. Specialized pro-resolving mediators in respiratory diseases. It talks about using it in asthma, cystic fibrosis, acute respiratory disease syndrome, chronic rhinosinusitis. Listen to this. We talked about DHA earlier on as being very important for brain health. But look at these pro-resolving mediators in that category too, because it says the role of specialized pro-resolving mediators in reducing neuroinflammation and neurodegenerative disorders. We are an overly inflamed society from, well, diet, stress, lifestyle, all the toxins in the world. I think we are chronically in acute inflammation. And so pro-resolving mediators is this super, like I said, the critical extraction. Try to visualize this as like you're taking these components out of the fish oil, not the EPA, not the DHA. You're taking these components out of the fish oil, concentrating them. And by the way, we have these tested internally by our ISO certified lab, but this is also tested externally by other labs to confirm the level of SPMs. What's been in the industry, Dr. Hill, as you're aware, is around 3 SPMs in the industry. What we have is 7 SPMs, so a much more potent form of pro-resolving mediators. Therapeutic dose start baseline is 2 capsules a day. But as you taught us, Dr. Hill, you can take more. Sometimes in our world, you know, less is more. But in this case, you will get better results as you take more, building it up. And then you can taper down. But the results have been amazing. I mean, we're so excited at Biotics about this. The testimonials from patients is just, it's alarming at some level to see this thing, to see this so effective.
You know, Daniel, I really discourage thinking about things as a panacea, but, and SPMs are not, but my goodness, when you talk about these and the outcomes that we've been seeing, especially with such an intervention that hasn't been in the marketplace for Biotics that long, it's delivering some powerful outcomes with a variety of different clinical scenarios for patients and practitioners out there.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. When you're getting testimonials that fast, and you know, it's kind of nice to have that much supportive literature out there as well. It gives a little bit more confidence to the practitioner as a foundation to apply this product in these cases.
And I would say for those practitioners listening that if you have never investigated SPMs, definitely look into this category of product. It from a physiology biochemistry standpoint, it's just the logical next step with the fish oil conversation. And Daniel went through the science on that, so I won't reiterate that. But this is a category that honestly, at this stage, Daniel, I really wouldn't want to not have this in my arsenal now that I've had access to it. It's just giving us that kind of outcome.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, too, we've discussed this quite a bit, and we'll wrap this up. I'm watching our time, is you can still take fish oil. That's still a very important component of the health of the individual. This is just more targeted for inflammatory pathways, chronic inflammation, acute inflammation. That's very effective. It's going to be a little bit faster result, but still utilize your fish oils.
You know, you mentioned our podcast today has gone a bit long, and I agree it has compared to some of our others, but I think it's always good to revisit these fundamentals of nutrition and just understand where our recommendations are evolving from and what's important to have in these protocols. And today's podcast did just that by diving into the unique fatty acid offerings from Biotics Research. It's not just another fish oil in the professional space. The Biomega line of products truly sets the standard in the industry. And when you, as the practitioner, make a recommendation of a Biomega product to a patient, you can feel confident that there's not a better option that exists. It's just not out there. And with the flexibility of the dosing options that you can deliver and scale the dosing as you need to and the administration routes as you need to, you're delivering what works for the patient, not just from an improvement in biochemistry, physiology, but also just from compliance, if you will. So with that being said, if you're looking for additional information on any of the products or resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. In closing, I want to thank Daniel for his willingness to share his time and experience to help us all become more versed in the appropriate application of Biotics Research products. We all appreciate you being a part of today's podcast and hope you will join us again for another episode of the Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast.
Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.